Well, good morning, friends and family. Jay Martin here, September 17th, 2023, here for another Garden Talk. And it's a great morning here in Eastern North Carolina and hopefully where you are. Fall is beginning to creep in and the days are getting a little shorter, but it's just a rich season. As I'm teeing up this Garden Talk this morning, I looked at the count, meaning the count of Garden Talks, and this is 152. And if I do my simple liberal arts head math, well, I think 156 will mark 3 years. And I know I've taken some weeks off, and it began during COVID, and I've gone from standing by the table or sitting by the fire or going to the laundry room. I'm in a rocker now, and that doesn't mean, hopefully, that I'm getting old and decrepit. But, you know, resting the leg as it heals, and it's just a place of comfort. And whether it's just mom and my two sisters who are listening to me this morning, this is a refreshing opportunity to reflect with you on God's goodness and God's Word. And it's something of which I never grow weary or worry about truth coming out. And that's not by any means to pat myself on the back. It's simply to say that God's Word is deep and it's unfathomable and it is fresh. And my prayer for you and for me today is that the words of my mouth, the meditations, what's going on in my heart, are pleasing in the Lord's sight, that they overflow into you and your passion and your journey, and that we know that He's our rock and our Redeemer, our ever-present help in times of trouble on mountaintops and in valleys. This morning, before I even read part of Psalm 119, and then we're going to go into Romans 5 and James 1, and this message theme of persistence in the aftermath of surrender, obedience, persistence. That's kind of part of this Why Do We Go, Who Do We Know series of late. But persistence. But this morning in its sacredness, I've come across a book that one of my sons, I believe it was Graham, he didn't inscribe it, gave me several years ago. And truth be told, I read a couple of entries and then it sat on a shelf and I pulled it out a couple of weeks ago. It just, something in the spirit nudged me. It's called Every Moment Holy. And it sounds like it would have been written in the 14th century, but it was written in 2017 by an author about whom I know nothing other than he's brilliant and eloquent and right on target. And I believe his name is James McElvey, McElvey, if I've got that correctly. But Every Moment Holy. And as we sit out here, and for me, it's the dawn has broken, and it's a little after 7. And I just want to open with an entry. And one of my delights is presenting you with resources for your own journey, where you don't have to have it spoon-fed from me or another pastor or another Bible study. All of those are good things, but we need to be equipped to feed ourselves and to seek perspective. So this Every Moment Holy has a number of chapters on, you know, profound liturgical, you know, that's a big church word, moments in life, but also on the everyday. I mean, there's one for laundry and there's one for, you know, starting a car. There's one for technology. I mean, it's very relevant and real, but let me let that demonstrate itself. So here's one this morning that hopefully will connect with you. It's called A Liturgy. Again, formal church word. Don't let that push you aside. For the Ritual of Morning Coffee. Wow. You know, maybe for many of you, and certainly for us, as we drink our 10-cup, you know, Cuisinart grinding brew just about every day, Gene and I, this is profound. But hear his words, and hopefully hear the Lord's words as we open. Meet me, O Christ, in the stillness of this morning. Move me, O Spirit, to quiet my heart. Mend me, O Father, from yesterday's harms. From the discords of yesterday, resurrect my peace. From the discouragements of yesterday, resurrect my hope. From the weariness of yesterday, resurrect my strength. From the doubts of yesterday, resurrect my faith. From the wounds of yesterday, resurrect my love. Let me enter this new day, aware of my need, and awake to your grace, O Lord. Amen. And the passage that it refers to is Isaiah 40:31, that says, "For they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." Well, hopefully that kind of connected with you as it did with me. And again, the title is Every Moment Holy. It was written in 2017. Author, again, is James McElvey or McElvey. I commend it to you. And I'm going to read a little bit more from it later, but that's just kind of a teaser for you today. So this morning, we are looking again, as I mentioned just a minute ago, at this progressive journey of what it is to follow Jesus. And I'm beginning this series with these three connected concepts of surrender, obedience, and today really leading into persistence. And I'm going to define persistence, used to say out of my dictionary, but off my phone, as persistence means continuing firmly or obstinately. Again, obstinately, against opposition, in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. To be persistent, by this definition, is to continue firmly, obstinately, in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. So, but persistence in this conversation follows up on these concepts of surrender and obedience. Surrender and obedience. So we looked at surrender a couple of weeks ago, particularly related, and I leaned into this more last week, really with prompting from Oswald Chambers, another Bible resource, at Mary's surrender, and also kind of at Peter's surrender, and this is in Scripture. And Mary's surrender was this lavish anointing of Jesus' feet at Bethany with oil that cost a year's wages, and we looked at her surrender, at her moment of yielding, of bending the knee to Jesus, as something that was significant, something that was scented, meaning the aroma filled the room, and was somewhat scandalous. And for us, surrender should take on some of those same characteristics. It should be significant. It's not just I'm going to surrender my Sunday morning and go to church. You know, that's part of it, but it's a yielding of life, and it's a yielding of control, and it's letting loose of our clenched fists, which hold on to what we want life to be, and saying, not my way, but thy way, O Lord. It's difficult, and it's monumental, and there are mountaintops of surrender, and then there's daily, and here we get into persistence a little bit, moments of surrender. And again, the scented part is just that it should, I'm sitting across from a gardenia bush. I know when it's blooming, and when our lives are blooming in Christ, others should notice without us, you know, wearing the t-shirt or the bumper sticker or being bold in our, you know, declaration of our salvation. We need to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is within us. But our faith in Jesus, as he told his disciples, by this will others know that you follow me. It's by your love for one another and your love for those that don't love you. So there's grace in that. And it should be, again, sometimes as Mary's surrender was, scandalous, even within the church. They're becoming a fanatic. And I spoke last week at you know, Good Shepherd about a dean of the chapel at Duke years ago named William Willimon, who would get calls from parents about their students at Duke. And rather than, hey, they're embracing the party culture or they've gone off the deep end, you know, in terms of their politics or whatever, he got calls from parents who were saying, my child's coming home kind of a Christian fanatic. They're following Jesus. They're doing Bible studies. They're pulling back from some past patterns. And sometimes the zealous faith was that which became the most scandalous. And oftentimes we as parents, and I confess to this, we kind of want our kids to fit in the nice lane of life, and we all want our children to succeed, and we all want them to become independent, but sometimes we compromise, and we say we want to do it in a way that doesn't rock the boat of the world and the patterns of the world. So that's enough about surrender. Obedience, we came to understand last week, was following Jesus' commands. John 14 says, you know, if you love me, you'll do what I say. And if you're my friends, you'll do what I say. And I've said this often, but it's not a conditional friendship of Jesus, but friendship denotes time together and intimacy and like patterns. And Jesus, as our maker, our creator, and our friend, calls us to certain patterns which run against the nature of what we want to do. But he's, you know, and his commands began with simply invitational, you know, drop, dine, and do. I'm going to use those three, you know, that alliterative D pattern, the drop your nets to come, dine with me, dine with sinners, take some table time, put aside distractions, and come and gather and dine with me and upon me. He said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And again, it wasn't cannibalistic, but it was a call to receive the body of Christ given, broken. It was a call to drink the cup of grace, forgiveness, and covenantal invitation to walk with Jesus as one. So what's next? So, you know, it's like surrender, obedience. I've got so, the P of persistence. So I'm, again, defining persistence as continuing firmly or obstinately in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. Persistence leads to perseverance, which leads to peace. And these are patterns. These are patterns. So, you know, in the everyday world of today, many of us, myself included, are kind of suckers for quality content, which comes on our phones or our screens, hopefully still in books. But one of the things that I've noticed in the past month or so was this little 30-second video on dominoes. You know, dominoes that, you know, you tee them all up and then you hit one and this amazing pattern follows. And, you know, it's not instantaneous. You know, whoever sets those up, it takes hours, if not days. And there's one in particular that's a construction-related domino piece where there's a cinder block wall, and the capstones on the cinder block wall are set up at an angle, all leaning against each other. And I'm still not sure if this was real or staged or CGI, computer generated, but there was a simple nudge and the dominoes kind of fell along this, you know, 100-foot wall. And they dominoes tip. And then once they got to the end, they came back and they all leveled off. And it's like Harry Potter. It's like a wand that does an amazing amount of work in a matter of seconds. But I know, and you know, that dominoes fall after careful and persistent and meticulous arrangement. And our persistence is a long game. It's a long journey, and it is a daily, daily pursuit. The surrender and obedience can be, again, in the moment, they can be monumental. But the persistence which equips us for those moments, Mary's surrender of anointing Jesus' feet didn't just happen impulsively. She wasn't just wandering down the street and said, "Hey, I wonder what's going on in that house. I've got this expensive perfume. Let's go in." She had been following Jesus. She had grown to trust Jesus. She had seen the wonders of Jesus. She had seen the sacrifice and the compassion of Christ. She had heard the preaching. She had heard the hard teaching. And she just was moved, semi-impulsive, in this moment of grandiose surrender. But it was built with a persistent following. So are we doing that persistent following? So enough from Every Moment Holy, enough from Jay's sort of meanderings and domino videos and whatnot. There's a couple of passages. Let's just point you to God's Word. Let's get into God's Word with me. And I mentioned James and Romans, but I'm first going to go into Psalm 119. I referenced part of it last week, longest psalm, longest chapter of the Bible, 176 verses broken into 26 8-verse segments, which are based on the Hebrew alphabet. But you know, let's go into the early part of Psalm 119, and this again relates to perseverance. And the question is raised in verse 9, how can a young person keep their way pure? Great question. Parents are like, well, how can my children keep their way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I will not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. Rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. How about that? I rejoice in following your statutes. Again, laws, precepts, statutes, commands, all interchangeable for the principles of God, for the commands of God that you know, again, begin with come and follow, but that progress to dine with me, that also progress to drop your nets, drop your materialistic clutchings and holdings, and follow after me. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Again, this is a noble pursuit. And even for the psalmist, for David was a psalmist, clearly doesn't walk his talk many cases. And God is full of grace, and His word is full of folks who walked with Him and surrendered to Him and were obedient to Him and then went off into the far country. Peter went from faithful disciple, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then he said something, "Hey, you're not going to die though." You know, Jesus said, "Well, you know, you don't really understand, so you better get behind me, accuser." He actually calls him Satan. I mean, Peter boasts and then he bails. "I'm going to die with you, Jesus." And then the girl asks him, "Are you with Jesus?" And he says, "No, I don't even know Him." So Peter has these patterns of obedience and persistence, and then a pattern of falling away. So please know, as you hear these words and as you've walked your own meandering journey, that grace abounds. But the grace that abounds is not a grace to leave you in your funky place of disobedience, your funky place of lack of persistence, your funky place of following after the world, but it's an invitation to come back to the table. Come back to surrender. Come back to obedience. So let's look at some New Testament references there. And we'll look at at these amazing passages from Romans, and also from James, from Jesus' brother James's letter. So in Romans, and again, I mentioned early on, and I've mentioned a lot, and I tend to talk a lot and talk fast. I've had my sacred coffee of the morning, so the caffeine has flowed and is working its way. But Romans 5, and this is just a classic, timeless 1-8 verse. We're going to read this as a church this morning. Therefore, writes Paul to the church at Rome and also to us, since we have been justified through our faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Now, this is when we want to push back and deviate from this passage. But hang with me. We rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, character, hope. And this hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. So persistence and perseverance are closely related, but not identical. Once again, this persistence is this continued, firmly course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. And persistence leads to the capacity, the power for perseverance. Perseverance leads to overcoming. Perseverance is what we are called to do in the face of inevitable suffering. You've seen it. You've done it. I've watched those who, deeply in God's Word, nothing should, I quote, happen wrong to them. But when inevitable trials, temptations come along, they've been persistent in the Word. They've been following the paths of the Lord. They've been sowing seeds to the Spirit, and they're equipped to persevere, to overcome, and to produce character. You know, we would, I've thought about this a lot recently as we're parents of adults now, and taking a deep breath, no college tuition this fall for the first time in 14 years, and that's kind of a neat thing. But I remember the orientations of the boys and how the dean of students would come and say, hey, this has been a pandered generation. Don't come up here with 3 van loads full of furniture to move into a 12-by-14 dorm room. Don't, coddle your kids. Let them learn to be persistent and to persevere without fixing everything for them. And that's hard as a parent. But there's a time to stay home, as the prodigal father did, let the child wander into the far country and be ready with the ring and the robe and the fatted calf and to celebrate homecomings. But part of this persistence and perseverance relates to our parenting. And I know I'm speaking to many of you who are parents, and in our patterns for life as we develop positive habits, they don't happen in a 10-minute devotional. They don't happen even in a 10-day New Year's resolution. They might happen over 10 months. They might happen over 10 years. I knew a fellow named Steve, and I can't even remember his last name. I hate that, in Goldsboro, in my first church, who his story was quite compelling and inspired me. And his story was, he got sick and tired of being sick and tired, and he was overweight, he was sedentary, and he said, I want to run a marathon. Well, he didn't go out and run a marathon the next week, but he began with a walk around the block. And then he would run a block and walk a block, and then he would do a mile, or he would do a half a mile. And ultimately, within about an 18-month period, he had gone from sedentary to marathoner. And I'm like, well, gee, that's amazing. I bet I could do that. And that was part of the inspiration for my one marathon in 95. But even in that, as I would run the streets of Goldsboro, and there are times it's miserable, and I would sing old 90s praise songs, oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Shine, Jesus, shine. I would sing, Lord, I lift your name on high. And those thoughts would occupy me. Well, I tried to ignore the pain of my legs or the stitch in my side or the lack of breath or my dehydration, and ultimately ran the marathon. But at 15 miles, got tendonitis. And I wound up finishing run, walk with my brother-in-law, John Long, who went way ahead of me and has run many races after that. But I wound up wrapped up in a space blanket and with some nausea. But I'm thankful that I did it. So my reason in telling that marathon story is that what I'm inviting you to, with your persistence, which leads to perseverance, which leads to character, is that you begin with the small steps, and you begin with investment. And as Psalm 119 said, perseverance and persistence in the Lord is to persevere and be persistent in His Word. The Lord is Word. The Lord gave Word, and the Word brings life, which is why After 151 and a half garden talks, the word is still fresh, and I don't weary of speaking with you. And maybe I like to hear my own voice. Maybe I like to talk too much, and that is certainly the case oftentimes. But more than anything, I hope and I believe that my motives are pure and that I get up on Sunday mornings not with this burden to speak, but with this joy of overflowing the grace poured into me, which I find just in the treasures, the pearls of great price, which are available, which are blooming all around us and available. So I'm inviting you into what I've experienced. It's a long obedience. The long obedience in the same direction produces this harvest of righteousness. So a couple other passages in the New Testament, and actually before the one in James, I'm going to read from Galatians because I sort of paraphrased it just recently. So here's what's true, and this is straight from Paul to the church at Galatia. And it's kind of a hard word, but it's a blessing word, but it's an encouraging word. So I'll get out of the way of my introduction and read it to you. Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. Okay, it's a warning, shot across the bow. God cannot be mocked. A man, a woman, they reap what they sow. The one who sows, you know, meaning like planting seeds to the sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. This is called the principle of the path. We can't pursue fleshly desires of the world, material, physical, selfish, other, vengeful, without self-destruction, without corroding. We think we're different. We rationalize all day long. We do 90% well and 10% bad. I know that that does not work. It is corrosive, it is destructive, it is life-stealing. But the passage continues. So you sow to the sinful nature, you reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. But Paul's on to something here. He knows this is not easy, and he says this, and this is a word to persistence and perseverance. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. That's Galatians 6, 7 through 10. It's a call to persistent perseverance that will lead to righteousness. It's looking out at a garden, and these plants didn't grow instantly. It's not a Jack and the Beanstalk type of reality. And, you know, the garden takes mowing, and the hydrangeas need watering, and the hanging baskets need a drip of water and need to be planted, and Gene does an amazing job on all of that. And I just do a little bit of mowing, a little pruning now and again, but it's metaphorical for our own journey with Jesus. We don't develop habits in 10 minutes or in 10 days, but in 10 months and in 10 years. So in James, once again, and one of the reasons I go from passage to passage to passage is this is a consistent message that persistence empowers perseverance, which leads to peace. Persistence empowers perseverance, which leads to peace. So James, Jesus' brother, says this, and just in verse 2 of chapter 1. And again, these are very counterintuitive, meaning they don't make sense in our everyday world. But he says this: consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials. I don't want trials. Well, when have you grown just out of the oasis? You grow in the desert. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and he will give it to them. Again, this is the word of the Lord for the people of God today. So let me talk a little bit more as we kind of head down the stretch. It's a long journey, this journey of perseverance and this journey of persistence. And these are disciplines. And you may be in a crisis point right now, or you may be in an oasis right now. And right now, you know, this September, Gene and I are in a really sweet spot. And I'll share more of that news here in a moment. But we're in a sweet spot, and we love our life together. But the principles, the disciplines that we employed while healing from crisis nearly 20 years ago are now the disciplines which bring prevention and bring peace. You know, in Rebuilding Your Broken World, a book I read by Gordon MacDonald in crisis 20 years ago, he said, don't forsake the disciplines. You know, back to the bricks, one at a time. You know, the dominoes can fall in a negative direction or in a positive direction based upon what we invest in day by day and minute by minute. Again, Romans 12, another passage, says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Patience leads to this persistence. So here's five P words for persistence, and hopefully this is memorable. But these are just kind of, again, the marching orders of obedience, surrender, and then being one who persists to equip for abundant life. We're called to pray with persistence. You know, that seems to make sense. And pray praises. We pray with persistence. We praise with persistence. And again, persistence meaning inconvenience yourself. It's going to be difficult. You're going to have challenges in terms of maintaining these patterns. But it's worth it. You've got to prioritize. I've got to prioritize to realize the fullness that God has called us to. We're called to pursue with persistence. We're called to pour and to others and into Jesus with persistence. And we're called to ponder. So pray, praise, pursue, pour, not P-O-O-R, but P-O-U-R, pour out with persistence, and which leaves room for more of God, and ponder with persistence, five P's. And it takes time, it takes investment, it takes inconvenience, and it takes patterns. You know, there's a family, a local family, whom I love dearly, who I used to see in the gym. Every time I went to the gym, they're there. And I was there one day a week. And I kind of think they were 5 days a week. But they were in church maybe once a quarter. And I never saw them. And, you know, I would hear, you know, again, I hate this. I don't want this to sound like gossip, and I'm not naming names. But I would hear about patterns within family life that were crushing and that were destructive and that were wandering. And they were the fittest family in town. But in terms of the persistence in the things that built abundant life, there didn't seem to be much fruit. And listen, guilty as charged. I'm holding up my hand. I'm not judging from this pedestal looking down, but I am speaking of patterns which lead to peace. So I've got a love story to share this morning. And this is on a personal note. And sometimes I do this too much, but it's on my heart. And I'm being taught by my children. But this weekend, we celebrated an engagement in our family for Wynn Martin and Emily Park, and they've been dating 18 months, and he proposed to her in Montreat, and a group of folks gathered yesterday for a celebration, and Gene and I drove 860-some-odd miles in 3 days, which was so worth it, between seeing her mom and being on the mountain with Wynn and Emily and with family. But Wynn, you know, they blew me away in terms of their obedience and their patience. And just a little bit of a backstory. He'll tell this story on his own as well. So I'm not divulging something highly discreet. But Wynn made a decision several years ago that, you know, he'd had a couple of you know, dating relationships with lovely young women, and they ended in breakup. And he had some regrets. And nobody did anything stupid, but it was just a matter of living and learning. And he decided that, after some, you know, 20 years of just always looking for her, and I quote the her meaning the one, that the forever girl, that he followed some wonderful counsel of Andy Stanley in a teaching series on dating, that after some hard relationships, take some time just to prepare yourself to be the one and not be hyper-focused on just finding the one. And so Wynn took a year off of dating. And, you know, even me and Gene and maybe even his brother said, you know, what if you meet the right one at Young Life Camp? What if you meet one? And he's like, you know, she'll still be there. I'm sticking by my commitment. And he stuck by his commitment. And for a year, he had tremendous peace and freedom in not being the one who was pursuing a relationship. And then, lo and behold, you know, a couple months after that time period was up, he and Emily met, and they have pursued one another, and they've been persistent with the Lord, and they were engaged this week. And he referenced a reading from Every Moment Holy as he proposed. And it comes from a liturgy that talks about long obedience and long journey. And I'm just going to read the final paragraph here out of this book. It says, and he paraphrased this in his proposal by Lake Susan. He said, "Let me build then, my king, a beautiful thing by long obedience, by the steady progression of small choices that laid end to end, sounds like dominoes, will become like the stones of a pleasing path stretching to eternity, and unto your welcoming arms, and into the sound of your voice pronouncing the judgment, well done." Wynn, paraphrasing this devotional guide, Every Moment Holy, basically said to Emily, "Let us build before our King Jesus, the one to whom we surrender and are obedient, a beautiful thing by long obedience, by the steady progression of small choices that laid end to end will become like the stones of a pleasing path stretching to eternity into your welcoming arms, unto the sound of your voice pronouncing the judgment. Well done. One of my groups in town on Thursday mornings began just after COVID, honestly, and we were, a group of four of us were up in the mountains for a retreat at the Cove Conference Center, Billy Graham's Conference Center, and Tony Dungy, J.B. Brown, you know, football luminaries shared with us, you know, just living a life of integrity, and it had to do with this concept of life or death by inches, the small choices, the small acts of persistence, and there were cautionary tales, and there were triumphant tales of again, the Steves, the marathoner, who began with the walk around the block and wound up running the marathon. It's the, you know, you begin with the 5-minute prayer, you begin with the 10 minutes in Scripture, and you build on that, not so that you've built this temple to yourself and your faithfulness, but so that you can walk in obedience with your Master, with your Maker, who says, long and faithful obedience does lead to blessing. Folks, it's my life verse. It's Jeremiah 6:16 once again. Lord, I'm in a broken place. You know, show me the good way. And the Lord says this, walk in ancient paths and find rest for your soul. This Sunday, September 17th, 2023, my prayer is that you will be persistent. Persistent in your prayer, persistent in your praise, persistent in pursuing, persistent in your pondering. And that your 10 minutes will lead to 10 days, which will lead to 10 months, which will lead to eternity of peace with Jesus, even when the waves buffet, the tsunamis come, and the trials happen. For they will, but you will not be abandoned by the Lord our God. Amen.